Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Malcolm Yarnell to the podcast. Dr. Yarnell serves as research professor of systematic theology at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. Yarnell, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you today.
Yeah, good to have you back on the podcast. I've had you on a time or two over the years, and so we're back together today talking about the preacher's reliance on the Holy Spirit, and I look forward to that conversation here to begin momentarily. Before we get to that, though, I guess it's, what, April 7th, and we're in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, and you're serving at Southwestern. I'm serving here, of course, at Midwestern Seminary. And a lot of disruption, students sent home, classes online, only essential employees on our campuses, and more broadly, a lot of disruption in our churches. Congregations not meeting together corporately, and pastors and ministers having to adapt quickly to serve their churches through other technological means and whatnot. So I guess we have this conversation today in a uniquely challenging season, and in a season when preachers really do need to be relying on the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And listen, before we get into that topic, give us a few words of update on yourself and your family and just ministry, writing projects, and so forth.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, the coronavirus pandemic has thrown all of us into new venues for our ministry. I've actually myself been busier than I have been in quite a while. And part of that has been taking and adapting to even more intensive use of all of the electronic media that we have available to us. But a large part of that has been at the seminary. And also as teaching pastor at Lakeside Baptist Church in Granbury, Texas, I've had to actually learn how to preach to and empty room. And that is a little disconcerting, as you probably have figured out, at least at first. And then to begin hearing back from the congregation and to other people about how they were blessed, even through the electronic forms of a proclamation, has really been eye-opening to me. I'm much more appreciative of the electronic forms of communication. And if I could also say this, in some ways, we're going back to the early church. Paul was imprisoned when he wrote many of his letters, especially, you know, the letter to the Philippians. And so he's restricted, and yet he finds media, venues for spreading the gospel. How wonderful is that? We can do the same. And when you look at early Baptist education, in the 17th century, Baptists were booted out of the English universities, and they had to come up with their own forms, which were very local at first, forms of educating their ministers. We actually have greater tools today than many of them had. And so, you know, it's just a process of being flexible, adapting, and making sure that you hold to the basics. And the basics, as you know, the Word of God and being in the Spirit. Here's the basics. We can do this.
You know, very well said. And I will tell you, the past few weeks have been, for me, kind of the tale of two portions of the day. My days have started ridiculously early and have been ridiculously full up until the moment I go home. And when I go home, our evenings as a family have just been so special. Meals Amen. Together every evening, walks together, board games together, family worship, devotion together. It's just been great. There's been this kind of window of simplicity and togetherness there in the midst of very full days institutionally. Now, I will also add a word like you did on the technological front. Look, I have found myself appreciating technology, especially as it relates to the ministry of the local church, more than I ever dreamt I would a month ago. And I'll give you an example. Yeah. You know, the ability to, you know, I'll put in quotes, the ability to worship online. And I'll tell you, we as a family have got much more out of that the past 3 weeks than we would have thought one could get out of it, you know, a month ago. And we've sought to treat it seriously. Everyone's up on time and, you know, well appointed. We don't have Sunday clothes on, so to speak, but we're, you know, we're awake and we've had our coffee and, you know, we got our Bibles and our notebooks and following along. And I have really appreciated the technology. I've never been against online worship or streaming the services. I've always been a little concerned that, you know, are people like staying at home in bed when they should be with God's people? But I'll tell you, the past 3 weeks, I've gotten a lot out of it and really just appreciate that ministry and the way my local church has adapted and have served us so well. And like you, there's a sense of adventure and exhilaration to all of this that does make me think about the first century and the early church.
Absolutely. And, you know, there have been times of severe persecution for Christians, even in our own day, and they had to learn to adapt to the situation. We have to learn to adapt. Of course, we're not being persecuted by a government. We are being confined by a virus. So two different things, but still, we can learn to live with this, at least for a time.
All right. We're talking today about the preacher's reliance on the Holy Spirit. And a book that came out, I guess, a year ago now, give or take?
A little less than a year ago, right.
A little less than a year ago, a book that you wrote, a part of the Hobbs College series out of Oklahoma Baptist University and our friends there. And the title of the book is, Who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, I want to commend you for the title. And not that I was worried about you getting this wrong, but it is important, the title, Who is the Holy Spirit, not What is the Holy Spirit?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so the Holy Spirit is a he, a person, and the book is about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to build a conversation today around the preacher's reliance on the Holy Spirit, and kind of built from your book, but obviously more broadly, your work as a theologian and biblical scholar. And so I guess, though, on the front end of this conversation, what did prompt the book? What prompted this topic for you?
Yeah, well, actually, I have written on the Holy Spirit before. So in large systematic theology entitled A Theology for the Church that is edited by Danny Aiken, I contributed the chapter on the Holy Spirit to that book. And it's a very long chapter, and it covered two subjects. One was the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is as God, and the other was the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the 20th century, especially, most books that were written about the Holy Spirit were written about the work of the Holy Spirit, and moreover, usually about a narrow band of the work of the Holy Spirit, particularly with regard to the spectacular gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I discovered is that there is a problem that has arisen because of this emphasis in only one area in both scholarship within the academy and in the churches. And that is that we've actually neglected who the Holy Spirit is. And this has borne itself out in some surveys that came out over the last couple of years conducted by Lifeway Research. And in two surveys taken 3 years apart, they asked questions about the theology of Americans and American evangelicals. And what they discovered, and this is really disturbing because it held in both of the surveys, they discovered that a significant minority of self-identified evangelical Christians actually held to what seemed to be Arian views of Jesus Christ. But what was even more disturbing is that a slight majority, over 50% of American evangelicals, considered the Holy Spirit to be more properly identified as a force or a power rather than as a person. And so that means that we need to be very adamant to make sure that we are proclaiming the Holy Spirit and who he is from our pulpits. Otherwise, our people are going to continue to have a problem with the doctrine of the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit. And I think this has come about because of some trends in both evangelicalism and within broader society.
So I'm going to doubtlessly butcher this quote, and I may even misidentify the one who said it, but perhaps you can help us here. And it is germane to the topic today. Was it John Owen who said something like, the sin of the Old Testament was the rejection of God the Father, the sin of the New Testament, the rejection of God the Son, and the sin of the church age, the neglect of the Holy Spirit? Are you familiar with that quote?
I'm not familiar with that quote, but I am familiar with John Owen, and that sounds almost exactly like something he would say. He's very clear in his proposal that we need to preach and hold to Orthodox doctrine of the Trinity and an Orthodox doctrine, not just of the Father and of the Son, but of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and you do have the phenomenon, as the saying goes, that when heresy moves in across the street, we tend to move across town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we think of the modern charismatic movement, you know, beginning the first decade of the 20th century and the different iterations of that. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama, of the Brownsville phenomenon in Pensacola, Florida, not that far away. And so we all have seen, and I know I'm painting kind of broadly here, not meaning to impugn anyone, but certainly we've seen the excesses of the charismatic movement and some of the fringe characters and the prosperity gospel and all of that, which I'm actually pretty comfortable painting broadly in that regard. But it's made many evangelicals and many Southern Baptists who are doctrinally straight and they see these kind of cringeworthy personalities, these cringeworthy sermons, these cringeworthy moments, perhaps to overcorrect away from a healthy appreciation for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Help us find balance here.
Yeah. No, I agree with you fully. As a matter of fact, any time that I'm teaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit within the classroom, teaching systematic theology, I've discovered that I have two extremes in the classroom. On the one hand, there are those that have been positively influenced by the charismatic or Pentecostal movements, and those on the other extreme who have been negatively impacted by the charismatic or Pentecostal movements. And what I discover is that they bring in those experiences. On the one side, there is a willingness to go a bit beyond the text when it comes to a description of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. On the other side, because there have been negative experiences, including churches that have split, churches that have been, to use the term, taken over, there have been negative reactions to what is often seen as a form of spiritual elitism based around the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so what I have to do often is to help both sides understand that we need to, at least for a time, put those arguments to the side and return to what is a more significant, a more important, a more foundational teaching, and that is that God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, indivisible. And if the Holy Spirit is God, then we need to worship him. And that means if we're going to worship him, we need to understand who he is correctly before we get into all of the discussions about really what is, and in some cases, is the least of the spiritual gifts. And that least of the spiritual gifts has become the greatest controversy and has either driven us towards overemphasizing the subject or radically underemphasizing the subject of the gifts, as well as the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful here, especially for those that are teaching, that we maintain the biblical view of the Holy Spirit, the Orthodox view of the Holy Spirit, while taking some of these other arguments and just putting them to the side until we cover that which is more important.
So let's think in particular now about two different kind of aspects of the preacher's work. One is the work of sermon preparation, and then the other is the work of sermon delivery, and how the Holy Spirit impacts both of those, or maybe we should say how the Holy Spirit can and should impact both of those. So let's begin with that first category, as relates to the preacher's sermon preparation. Talk about the role of the Spirit, both actual and potential.
You know, this is a very good question. So if you would go to what is really a classical text about the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture, 2 Peter and chapter 1, I think that both of these questions are going to actually be answered in this text. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. We also, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation. because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what we know is from this text, I think, is twofold. And I have to say, this is not an original interpretation of this with me. This goes to Carl Henry, Carl F. H. Henry, who was the leading evangelical theologian of the 20th century. And so I highly recommend his works. But he pointed out that the Holy Spirit here both inspired the prophets to write what they wrote, and by extension as well, the apostles to write what they wrote. And so on the one hand, the Holy Spirit inspires the biblical text. On the other hand, interpreting the prophetic word, the apostolic word, is also a work of the Holy Spirit. So from the inspiration of the biblical text to the interpretation of the biblical text, we are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And he uses, Peter does, the metaphor of light here. And he uses it in a number of ways. And so we have to pay attention to the prophetic word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. And so here, I think what we're getting is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the biblical text, and he is the one who opens our hearts and our minds to the meaning of the biblical text. And so the inspiration of Scripture by the Holy Spirit is affirmed by Scripture, and the interpretation of Scripture by the Holy Spirit is also affirmed here in
so
the Bible.
The preachers listening to this conversation, Dr. Yarnell, let's say they find themselves kind of nodding in agreement with what you're saying. Yes, the Spirit gave the text. Yes, the Spirit illumines the interpretation for the text. How can they cultivate that? How should they express their dependency upon the Spirit? How can they seek the Spirit's illuminative work in their study?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. For me, the way it has worked out is this: prayer. I've got to humble myself and realize that even though God has equipped me with a library, God has equipped me with a mind, God has equipped me with an education so that I can use my mind to properly use that library, I am in the end ultimately dependent upon divine grace. And the Holy Spirit is the person of God who takes and applies the grace that is willed by the Father and spoken by the Son and applies it or executes it within our hearts. And so I need to pray. And among the great Christian theologians throughout church history, from Augustine to Anselm to Aquinas to Luther to Calvin and on into the future, all of them have affirmed that one must have faith, which is a work of the Holy Spirit, in order to understand God. You cannot understand God unless you have a personal relationship with God, which is the fruit of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And that means that if I, as a preacher, am going to rightly interpret the Word of God, that needs to come out of not only the mental activity, the intellectual activity, it must come out of a transformed heart. And only the Holy Spirit of God can do this. And so I believe that proper hermeneutics, proper interpretation of the biblical text, requires the humility of prayer for the Holy Spirit to open my mind so that I can properly interpret. And then when I get into the preaching task, to also do a very similar prayer, but a little bit different.
So the preaching task itself, Sunday morning is here, the congregation is gathered, COVID-19 is gone, and the minister has the Bible and he's ready to preach. What is the role of the Spirit in that proclamation?
Yeah. You know, I think we can look at it in a couple of different ways. One, I really believe that we don't need to get up there and try to give a sermon necessarily every time on the Holy Spirit. So you need to be careful about over-intellectualizing the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, I do think that you need to invoke the Holy Spirit. B.H. Carroll, the great Texas Baptist theologian, he wrote a prayer that I read one time to the Holy Spirit. And the first time I read it, I thought to myself, that's just odd because I'm a Baptist and this is a great Baptist preacher and he's praying to the Holy Spirit. And I hadn't heard that one before, which was many years ago. And I thought to myself, I don't know how I feel about that. But the more I read scripture with regard to the Holy Spirit, the more I realized that the Holy Spirit is God and that he deserves my worship and praise as much as the Father and Son do, then I too need to pray to the Spirit. And so I think it's important that we sing Trinitarian hymns, which always ought to include a praise to the Holy Spirit as much as to the Father and the Son. I mean, baptism is an act of worship that also has the Holy Spirit. The benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians, commonly used in Christian history, also is a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And so we actually have biblical and historical examples of this. So on the one hand, it is prayer to the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, if you really want power in your preaching, it's not just prayer to the Holy Spirit along with prayer to the Father and the Son. It is prayer that the Spirit will take your words and use them for God's will. I think that not only are we utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit to properly understand or interpret the biblical text, we are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim the Word of God with power.
You know, the story is told of the young preacher, first Sunday, new church, fresh out of seminary, who was ready to go with the first sermon. And he had all his, you know, Greek studies and Hebrew studies crammed into the first sermon, all his points ready. And he really kind of bounced into the pulpit on cloud nine, ready to preach. But the sermon quickly became a train wreck. And he forgot his second point and his notes were out of place. And it was just a disaster. And he kind of shriveled and kind of slid out of the pulpit. And the story is told that a wise deacon said to him something like, you know, Pastor, if you had entered the pulpit like you left the pulpit, you would have left the pulpit like you entered the pulpit. Now, whether or not that story is true, I don't know, but I've heard it in preacher circles for years. But there's a lesson there, something about the dependency we should feel when we enter the pulpit. And there have been moments, and I'm sure you have had these as well, where for whatever reason, illness that week, you know, three funerals, two weddings, and a bunch of pastoral nightmares happening, and maybe some personal family disruption, and you just go into Sunday morning feeling like, Lord, I am just dependent upon you. I am spent. I am not ready as I wish I were ready. I'm dependent upon you, but the Lord seems to have blessed that sermon and used that sermon in an unexpected way. Conversely, there have been times when you thought, you know, it was one of these mountain peak passages and the sermon prep went great and you're ready to go and you go into the pulpit and it just kind of fell flat. What do you make of those experiences? And does that teach us anything about the ministry of the Spirit in our lives?
Yeah, you know, when you were telling that apocryphal story, I thought you were reading out of my personal biography.
Right, right, mine too.
So, I mean, I can tell you this. There have been moments, especially when I was younger, that I thought to myself, this is a well-crafted masterpiece of genius proclamation. And I am just, the Lord is going to work. And then I'd get up and preach. And, you know, there was nothing wrong with the sermon. It was good exegesis and everything. But it just seemed to fall flat. Then there have been other times where I have been so weak, so no power within myself, and just crying out for the Lord to work, not because of me, not even through me, but in spite of me, and he works. And it's happened more than once where I have just gone in feeling so weak and so dependent. And I think that has to do with the prayer of the heart, which is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think sometimes God has to take and humble us so that he can use us. Roy Fish, one of my favorite professors ever, he once said that God can make some pretty straight licks with crooked sticks. And I've come to know that as a human being, even though I have been born again, I've been redeemed, I'm still not in perfection. I still need and will always need to be utterly dependent upon God's grace to use me. People aren't saved because of me. They're saved through me because of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be humble. And that is an attitude of the heart that I don't know that you can teach it. You can talk about it, but that is an attitude of the heart that only the Spirit of God can bring about in a preacher's heart.
Dr. Yarnell, I think we'll leave it there. Our time has passed, but what a helpful conversation, the preacher's reliance on the Holy Spirit. I do want to commend your book on the Holy Spirit, entitled Who is the Holy Spirit, published by B&H, and done in the Hobbs College series there at Oklahoma Baptist University. Thank you for being with me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you for having me, and may God bless Midwestern Seminary and all that you do, Dr. Allen.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.